are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is.
Theology is reality.
Bam. This week's episode of the God Geeks podcast. Welcome. I am Bill Brimer. This is my main man,
James Cleland.
And we are the God Geeks coming to you current,
yep.
New,
weekly.
Fresh, weekly. It's Friday. You might be driving to work listening to us. You might be driving home listening to us, but the week is behind us, my friends.
Oh, and I'm ready for the weekend.
aren't you ready for the weekend? Aren't you ready for Saturday off? And
yeah. Game of Thrones on Sunday? Oh, and church too.
Well, I was going to say maybe, you know, the Word of God and the Lord's Supper, but, you know, Game of Thrones
as
well.
Priorities, right?
Which, hey, by the way, that's what we're going to get into on this episode, the Word of God, some theology in our weekly segment, Jedi Mind Tricks. We're going to talk about the Crux Theologorum and how that amazing question is actually a blessing not to be answered. And then in This Week in Geek, we're going to get deep, deep, deep into Game of Thrones talk.
Yeah.
And we may even, at a future date, have a Game of Thrones special because this season's kicked off. It kicked off this last Sunday night. There's a new episode this Sunday night, and I'm not sure how many episodes this season.
I think at least 10 or 12.
Yeah, 10 episodes of one of the best shows on TV, Game of Thrones. And also, my man James here, who reads the books, can tell you that he really loves those books.
Oh, yeah.
So we're excited about that. We're excited to be a part of Christ Hold Fast. ChristHoldFast.org is a website that you may be listening to this podcast through, or you may be listening to this podcast and never heard of it. But I would say go check it out, because James, you...
Oh, man, I've been binging on 40 Minutes in the Old Testament.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
With
so
Chad
good.
Bird.
Chad Bird.
Daniel Price.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes Brandon Hanson.
Uh-huh.
A really good, fun look at the Old Testament.
Yep.
One
Going
little
through
chunk
from Genesis
at a time.
1-1 yeah. all the way through. It is awesome.
And those guys, they do a good job of pointing things back to Christ, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and helping you see Christ in the Old Testament.
Yeah, it's changed the way I've looked at the Old Testament. It's good.
The website's got all kinds of articles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a contributor on there. They've got my music on that website. By the way, I have a new album coming out. I have not announced the release date yet, but it won't be long. 10 songs coming out. The downloads will be completely free. You can check all that out at BillBrimer.com. My Twitter handle, at Bill Brimer. James?
At the James Cleland.
That's right. The only one on Twitter, the James Cleland. And so we're going to get right into it, to some talk about theology, to some talk about geeky stuff. So hit the intro for Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Here it is, friends. Jedi Mind Tricks. This is week 2 of our weekly podcasts on God Geeks here. And Jedi Mind Tricks, of course, is our little segment where we talk about theology. We talk about the God part, and we geek out on the theological issues and thoughts.
What don't we geek out on, but okay.
That's true, yeah. I mean, well, that's sort of the point of this whole thing,
oh,
is letting us geek out and maybe someone out there other than... Maybe the internet somehow is connected to other planets and we have a following somewhere.
Ooh, I'd like
on,
that.
You know... In a galaxy
far, far away,
far, far away, long time ago,
yeah,
travels
yeah.
back through time
somehow. With our discussion last week, I think that might be possible.
Time
but,
travel.
You know.
Well, so time travel is possible.
We're moving forward in time.
Right. Yeah, that's right. There you go. To me, like what's hitting me big time theologically this week, because it comes up in this class that I'm teaching, a foundations class, and really one of the big questions that you arrive at when studying theology, in particular Christianity, and especially the Lutheran doctrine, mm-hmm. teachings about what the scriptures say, is this question of if God is responsible for saving us, right? We can't be saved unless God does the saving, right?
Right.
If God doesn't do that for some, like, why doesn't God just save everyone?
If he can do it, why not?
Yeah, if it... You know, if we completely rely on God, then why would some perish outside of his grace, right? I mean, outside of his action. It's sometimes referred to by nerds as the crux theologorum, the cross.
Sounds like Harry Potter talk to me.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that Latin?
I don't know. I wasn't into Harry Potter, so I don't know. It is Latin. Crux being cross, theologorum of the theologian,
okay.
or something along those lines.
Yeah.
The cross that the theologian must bear is to not be able to answer that question. Why do some perish? Why are some not saved by God? I don't even know if I'm really articulating it the right way. The question
I think
of,
it's asked in a lot of different ways, but
it
the,
is.
At the, cru- you, at the you know,
well,
center
yeah,
of it is.
It's sort of a crossroads
yeah.
that you arrive at no matter
yeah.
what if you are really sort of investigating and really exploring theological things, you will arrive at the crux theologorum. You know,
I feel like we hit that question almost every week in my class. Somehow
yeah.
a kid asks it,
which
I like when they ask it. I do.
Well, here's why I'm going to make a case that you should like it.
Okay.
That you should like when someone or you or anyone asks that question. And this occurred to me after thinking about it for quite some time. And I'm not talking about answering the question. Because there is no answer for the question. It's an unanswerable question. It has not been revealed. We do not know why everyone is not given faith,
mm-hmm.
or everyone does not receive faith, and everyone is not saved. And since it relies fully on God, and we can't do it even if we try, no matter how hard we try, we cannot be saved. That question of, why, Lord, don't you save everyone?
Mm-hmm.
What's beautiful about that question is that the person who asks it has heard the gospel.
You can't ask that question if you're not.
Well, you can't. You cannot. The scandalous nature of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he's done it all for you and he's given it to you freely. He's taken all your sin from you and he's given you all of his righteousness and he's given you faith. He's doing it all. You're not doing any of it. You're just receiving it. That incredible good news begs the question, not just why doesn't everybody get saved? Why doesn't everybody, you know, given faith?
Right.
But why did you save me?
Right. That's the...
That's
the greater question.
That's
why? Why do I even
being
saved?
That's the heart of the question.
Yeah.
Because if we all deserve damnation, why, Lord, did you save me? Yeah, right. So why, Lord, have you given me this beautiful gift of eternal life in the name of your Son? Because I'm just like everyone else, and I look around, and all I see is sinners. Right. That question is beautiful, and here's the thing. You may hear the gospel and not believe it.
Right.
You may ask the crux theologorum question, and you may try to answer it by saying, I can't agree with that, right?
Right.
I can't agree with that scandalous nature of the thing.
Right.
But here's the thing. You heard the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? So the preacher, right, or the teacher,
right,
whose students or disciples or congregation is asking the question of the crux of the allegorum, the preacher, the teacher should do a fist pump.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's message like received.
Mission accomplished. They heard it.
Yeah.
Right? They heard it. Because you can't ask that question unless you've heard the scandalous nature of the gospel. And so as unsatisfying as it is to not answer the question, the beauty is in asking it, right? I don't believe, I believe with everything in me mm-hmm. that the question is not intended to be answered.
Mm-hmm.
Because it leaves room for the gospel, right? The gospel mm-hmm. truth that he's done it all for you, that you couldn't do it on your own. And he's given you himself by no work of your own.
So
you're no worthy, more worthy than anyone.
Yeah.
And it falls completely on him to give it to you. And he gives it freely. He gives it freely. You know, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, his answer is yes. In Christ, to all, and not all receive it, right? Some reject it, but the beauty of the question is they've heard the gospel.
I like it.
That's my Jedi mind trick of the day.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of the week to think about. I'll let you, my friends out there listening, I'll let you wrestle with that. I would ask you, don't stop asking the question, right?
Yeah.
Don't stop asking the question. In fact, ask the question every day, but phrase it like this, I would say, Lord, why did you save me? I've done nothing.
Yeah.
Why, if you would save anyone, why did you
save
me?
That's quite the lens to look at things through.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of one of these things too. I mean, to take it a little bit further, and here's a question, sort of a hypothetical. If God puts on the last day, he mm-hmm. says to you, James,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you judgment
Uh-oh.
Of all of these people, all of these people who believe me, all these people who didn't, you know,
yeah.
Should I exercise my wrath on all these unbelievers or should I have mercy? You know, I'll let you be the judge, you know, what's your response to that? That's a tough question. But what's your response to that?
Well,
you don't
want
to answer for God, but I'm giving it to you.
I will say that if it was given to me based on my actions in the past, I'd say to the hell with them. You know, that's how I react a lot of times when I think about people.
Right. So,
thank God it's not up to me.
Okay. Yeah. So I think what's beautiful there was some honesty there.
Yeah.
But I think there's another side of it too. And here's the thing. That's why I think Jesus was so pissed off at the Pharisees all the time.
Yeah.
Because they thought that they had earned something.
Yeah.
That they'd done something.
Yeah, that's I'm always acting like a Pharisee. I'm thinking, I earned it, you didn't.
Right.
It's mine.
Yeah.
I did something
so
for
it. So I love your honesty there.
Yeah.
Because
but that's not the truth.
Right. I'm not a believer in universal salvation. I believe that faith is required.
Yeah.
Even though it's given by God.
Yeah.
You know, we're constantly rejecting it. And you must believe in Christ to be saved. However, I think our posture mm-hmm. is supposed to be that of
give it to everybody.
Give it to everyone.
Yeah. Totally.
Save the world, Lord.
Yeah.
Save everyone, Lord.
I conflict with both sides all the time.
Right. Yeah, right. I think that's beautiful because you're being honest about, I think, based on my history, I would be a Pharisee in that situation and go, well, Lord, we're good and they're bad, so let them burn, you know, which is, that's our posture a lot of times as Christians towards the outside world, towards each other in the church.
Uh-huh.
We're constantly uh-huh. throwing each other under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
We're constantly judging each other.
I did it today, I'm sure.
but the question of the crux of the allegorum brings you back to a place of going, you're not worthy
you
of any of it.
Yeah.
You're as bad or worse than anybody else, and you didn't deserve grace.
Yeah.
And therefore, shouldn't that grace flow out of you to everyone else, right?
Right.
So, I think it's an interesting way to look at it. An interesting way to embrace the mystery of why God has chosen to govern his creation the way he has. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And, I'm not
but
God.
Like you said, it's a good thing we're not in charge.
Yeah.
Because we would definitely mess it up. And he's not going to.
No.
He's not going to.
I mean, I will say all the time, I want to give my students grace and all things, grace and all things. And then I yelled at them today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, it's good. I'm not God.
Yeah. You're a broken human.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, me too. But I forgive your sins,
oh,
James, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I laugh, but I'm serious.
I know. And, it's good to hear that every day.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. So that's beautiful gospel.
Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah. Questions sort of provoked. Mm-hmm. If you will,
mm-hmm.
Brought about by the gospel. And that's our Jedi mind tricks for this week.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, we got something fun to talk about in This Week in Geek. Game of Thrones is back. If you don't want spoilers, just come back to this once you've watched the latest episode. I'm excited about Game of Thrones. Are you excited, Bill?
I love Game of Thrones. Now, I'm not a book reading Game of Thrones guy.
Okay, I am.
I'm simply
just
the TV show. You are well-versed in the Game of Thrones universe.
Sure, sure.
And
yeah.
And I wonder, just sort of as a show guy, as a TV guy, you know, is it perhaps more challenging to watch the show since it maybe doesn't match right up with the books, or does it match pretty well up?
At this point, actually, the show is going ahead of the books.
Right.
So right now it's kind of fun to watch.
That's
I'm thinking,
my understanding.
Oh, this is going to be fun to read and see the other take on it.
Yeah, I have a good friend. Who I would consider a Game of Thrones expert, like you.
Okay.
I'd love to do is get you two in here for the podcast, and we'll do a special episode on the Game of Thrones at some point during this season.
Okay.
Because I think it'll give the rest of us who just watched the TV show a lot of insights into it. But I am totally geeking out on Game of Thrones. There's so many good storylines, and this particular series has so many like fully developed storylines all wrapped into one. And a lot of times you like completely forget that an entire storyline, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I want to get back
to
that.
And that's what's interesting about your earlier question. The book has even more storylines and some characters we haven't seen yet. And I'm wondering if they'll even introduce them.
Wow. At this point, I wouldn't think that they could.
Yeah, probably not.
But maybe. Because there's so much possibility now with this season, and as he's already said, if you hadn't watched it, press stop and you just come back and listen
to
the rest of it, because Jon Snow is
still dead.
Yeah,
but
he's dead.
The questions we had are still there.
Yeah, he's dead, but what's going to happen, because there's a lot surrounding Jon Snow's corpse right now.
Yeah.
And I mean by that there's
his corpse is safe at the moment.
There's at least a somewhat of a small band of brothers who have kind of locked himself in this room with his body and the direwolf, and they're going to pull in the wildlings potentially, who I would think the wildlings would look at Jon Snow like and favorably.
Yeah, because he made sacrifices for them.
Well, and he went and fought.
That zombie horde.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that was a good episode.
And that whole, you know, Ice Zombie King, when he raises those dead people, that makes, and another storyline with the mountain.
Mm-hmm. He's also
risen from the dead. So now, there's this question out there. There's a whole nother thing,
in
though.
In the books, there's a lot more of.
Well, so my buddy reminded me, and this is what I'll steal from my little text back and forth with him today. Because like you said, I texted him today, and I was like, does Jon Snow dead in the books? And he's like, well, the books have ended right like where,
right,
and
where so, last
so
ended,
I don't
yeah.
he's like I'm as lost as everyone else, because he used to be like the guy that knew everything that was going to happen. But what he did remind me of, it was either season two or season three, it's the Brothers Without Banners, when Arya was with them, that there was a red priest in that Brothers Without Banners.
The Merry Men.
Crowd. Who had raised their leader from the dead multiple times. Multiple times.
And in the book...
And he's a red priest.
Red priest.
And the red lady...
Is also...
Is at Castle Black right now. So...
Arguably just as powerful.
And we don't know what will happen, but you at least have that possibility that she, after that really crazy, ridiculously gross reveal at the end of the episode...
She's apparently 300 years old.
Okay,
About 200 to 300 years old.
Yep, looks
when
every
she takes
day.
Off that... necklace thing, a magical necklace, I guess.
Right. So. There's some sort of spell, I guess.
Yeah, something
that
going
she's,
on there.
She's stayed youthful, but she's I guess, some... I mean, I would... The only terms I could use is, like, she's a witch. You know, she's some sort of a witch
or priestess of that same religion that the priest was. The monk.
The red priest.
The red priest was.
So they have a way to raise him.
Yeah.
Evidently,
so there is a possibility for him. Now, here's the deal. In the book, his mother... is raised from the dead by that same priest that raised...
The red priest.
Yeah, except she comes back kind of different.
Off,
and focused solely on vengeance.
Now, was the mountain in the books?
The mountain, I believe, is in the books, too. And
Did he raise from the dead?
Yeah, and I think he might be more of a Frankenstein kind of thing going on. I'm not sure if he ever fully died.
You know what? I just realized I forgot who wasn't in this episode, and I can't remember his name. It's the big dude. It's the big guy that wants to study. He wants to study like magic. He wants to study like. I think they had what's
Jon Snow's buddy.
Yeah.
What's
the version that like they have a guy? He's not really a priest. He's not like a religious guy. But
the Maesters.
Yeah,
Maesters.
Yeah, that's what he went to go. He went and took homegirl with
the
baby.
College. Yeah, they're going to the university.
Right.
Yeah.
So the White Walkers are coming over the wall, and you're going to university.
You're going to university.
Dude? I mean, come on.
Well, in the book, they explain it a little better. He's going off to the Maester University to figure out how to kill the Walkers.
Okay.
So he has dug through all
and
of
and maybe
the,
they did say that in the
maybe
show.
Maybe a little bit.
Remember.
But he has gone through all the books at Castle Black. He has read everything, looking for everything he can to find out how to fight him.
Right.
So now he's going to the biggest library in the world that he'll have access to.
Yeah.
To figure out how to fight him.
Yeah. Right.
Part of it too was the old man that he goes off with. I think he died maybe in the show. The old man is actually the rightful heir to the throne. Like, he gave up his right to the throne to join the Night's Watch.
His royal line.
Huh. So, but remember, the Red Priestess magic depends on royal blood. So I think part of him getting away was to protect him, because she could have used him, if she had figured out who he was, to fuel magic and would have killed him to do that. So, and that's getting me wondering too. Well, how is she going to fuel her spells to bring back Jon Snow if she does? Who's got some royal blood, or is, you know, there's something going on there?
Since he's got Stark blood.
He's got Stark blood, so maybe his own blood will do it. I don't know.
Is there?
Well, the Starks are kings in the North, so yeah, there'd still be royal blood. I guess.
Maybe.
So.
I mean,
power of blood, man. There's our theology.
Well, we're not really talking resurrection. We're talking reanimation.
No, reanimation, total different thing.
But that happens in the New Testament.
It does
quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So
Lazarus,
right,
was not resurrected.
Yeah,
reanimated,
like a little girl and Lazarus. And,
yep.
And that happens in the Book of Acts.
You know,
Paul actually reanimates someone. So
reanimator.
Yeah. Well, so the difference being that it's sort of like when Jesus healed someone of leprosy, doesn't mean that they were healed of everything. You know, they eventually died.
Yeah, they're gonna. Yeah.
When he raised Lazarus,
he eventually died.
Yeah. He wasn't resurrected like the glorified Christ who can never die.
Right.
You know? But boy, it didn't take us long to shift right back into theology, did it?
Okay, back to the geek stuff.
Yeah, you have a bunch of like really powerful themes in Game of Thrones.
Oh, a ton.
I mean,
yeah.
Royalty, like we just got through talking about. You know,
prophecy. There's prophecies going on in this episode too.
Yeah. So talk about
that. So the Red Priestess. I think Melisandre is having a crisis of faith of sorts because she thought she read the flames correctly. She thought that her god was telling her one thing and then the other thing happened and she's trying to figure out what is he up to? Is he, you know, I think she knows he's real because there's power.
Well, I think that's what's going to prompt her to try to reanimate Jon Snow because she supposedly saw him fighting
at Winterfell.
Yeah. And then, you know, but then the Lannister...
Cersei, there's a prophecy
yeah,
too.
About,
I think it was last season. We see a flashback to her.
And then she say witches?
It was a witch that made the prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and it
reminded
me of Macbeth a lot because there's three.
Right.
There's three prophecies
like
just like in Macbeth.
Oracle,
yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember what they all are. Basically, her children are going to be killed. Well, there's two so far.
Right.
And I think that she.
The last one's the king
the
right now.
The last one's the king right now.
Yeah.
See how that goes. And then. I think there's a prophecy that she will be killed by someone of her own blood too, which makes you think Tyrion or Jaime.
Jaime.
And
yeah.
Man, the way Game of Thrones goes, it might be Jaime.
Yeah.
That would
knows.
Be the darkest,
yeah.
saddest,
right.
weirdest
yeah,
that, situation the two
that
of them.
That whole situation
oh,
is already is terribly weird.
Yeah.
But it's very also, you know what's funny? I mean, it's not funny, but it's like
funny weird, not funny, haha.
Yeah, yeah, funny weird. That whole storyline, a brother and a sister, and all of that. I mean, hey, that incest stuff's in the Bible
it's
too.
In the
like,
Bible?
Oh, there's
yeah.
nothing that
there's Game of Thrones stuff in the Bible.
Oh, man,
oh man,
oh, are you kidding? The Old Testament is full of Game of
full
Thrones
of Game
stuff.
Of Thrones.
You know, murder and betrayal.
Oh,
and
yeah.
incest and all.
You name it.
You know, dragons. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Actually, in Revelation, you know, it does talk
dragons.
About that. So hey, I mean, you know, a lot of biblical stuff going on. Fascinating show. Real quick. Other than the Jon Snow thing, and we'll wrap up our Game of Thrones talk, and you know the whole Red Woman deal. What was your what was the standout part for you in this last episode?
I just the coolest part. Brienne is finally finds Sansa Stark and at the just the right moment.
Gets to be her knight.
Yeah,
yeah. And
yeah.
they do the whole exchange. Like
oh
she,
yeah, yeah. It's so funny. Podrick helps her with the
yeah,
right line
yeah,
and stuff.
It's so good though.
In a way, I have a feeling this is the building of a you know Queen's Guard of sorts. Like maybe
cool.
maybe Sansa does become queen in the north.
Cool. But you don't know because
I have no clue.
Books.
I have
yeah.
no clue.
Yeah,
the
you're
books
lost.
Aren't there
you're as lost
yeah.
as everyone else.
Yeah,
he's as lost as I am. We're as lost as you are.
We're as lost as Daenerys right now.
But we're like, but hopefully we're not kidnapped by the Dothraki. You
no,
know?
That wouldn't be good. Okay.
But hey, that's This Week in Geek. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the weekly God Geeks podcast. We'll see you next week.